Look, we've got the great Gary O'Callaghan here in the studio. Look, before we talk to Gary, and lots of people are here to see him, I want you to have a listen to the voice of Gary at his peak. This is him describing the landing of a jumbo. We heard a bit of this before, but have a listen to this, because this embodied him telling you exactly what was happening in your city every morning.
Looking out over Botany Bay, and here he comes settling down towards the runway at the moment. Just watch those huge landing lights, dazzlous almost, as he swung on to face up to Mascot Airport. And this beautiful jumbo, it's got to be, I would think, the British Airways 1-1. I can't quite make out in the light this morning which one it is. But he's just about to settle down onto the runway there across Botany Bay. And if you're driving along General Holmes, what a view you're going to have in a matter of moments when he gets down there to the Boeing tunnel. But look at that, like a feather, gradually settling towards the runway in the beautiful early morning light over Botany Bay. And there he is, coming down now, and a little puff of smoke, and the big jumbo is on the runway. It's just 7:18.
What a voice that is, Gary. You hear that?
Oh, I'm there. I can actually see it.
You can, can't you? And
it took me away.
The great man.
I actually could see it.
Welcome, Gary. Great to have you as part of our 90th birthday. And they were the days. That was the idea of the show, wasn't it? Anything that was happening in Sydney, you would be onto it and let people know.
Yes, and that's what I tried to do. But the best part about it was you had so many nice people in all the industries that were involved, and consequently you were on top of it because they'd let you know what was going on.
Yeah, you had a police radio in the studio before anyone else was doing it, so and you were very close to the police. You had a good relationship with them.
Yeah.
So they'd tip you off, they'd let you know what was going on, and so you were able to tell our listeners, and people knew.
Yeah, well, that's right. I owe a lot to the police, the emergency services, because they realised at that stage that it can help us if information's given out at the time, not sort of 4 hours later. So you've just got to know them, and they'd be on the phone, or they'd say something on the radio which would draw your attention to it, because I used to listen to all the channels of the police and the fire brigade and all the incoming air traffic.
While you're on air?
Yeah, I had the music in my left ear, which is why, but the left ear is so much better, and the right ear was all the emergency services, and things like when the first men headed for the moon, and they had the problem, and that was the most, what's the word, frightening moment of my life, when they said, we have a problem, and
Houston, we have a problem.
Yep. And I couldn't believe it. And what do you say after that? You're not going to get any further information for a while. But then the American consulate people were terrific to us around that time.
And one of your big jobs was to bring that news and that developing and that breaking news, but also bring a smile to people's faces as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it was. But then, that's because most of my life I've seen the funny side of things, but it's, you know, I came from a family of show people, which helped a bit, and then the girl that must be obeyed used to make sure that I had a good sense of humour.
It's Dorothy who's here with you today.
That's why I'm being so careful in what I'm saying.
But those of us that used to listen, we got to know Dorothy because you talked about Dorothy so often on air. But the other bird in your life, of course, was Sammy Sparrow, who lived down at the Opera House.
Yep.
We had an email. Has Sammy now got grey feathers, or what is Sammy with you?
No, he's not. But, yeah, he was yesterday.
Now,
we were in the hotel down the road here, and it's facing Hyde Park, and he was definitely there then.
Yeah. Now, Sammy, are we able to hear? Let's hear a little bit of Sammy, because this is from Sam. This is the way this used to happen about 8:20 in the morning.
It did.
Sammy Sparrow would come on. He would talk to you, and this would be people's note. Okay, this is when you get on the school bus. This is when you leave for work. So here is Sammy Sparrow.
Oh, no, come on, you're not allowed to do that here.
What?
Play with yo-yos in the studio.
I'm an expert at this.
Oh, go on, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'll show you.
No.
I do this around the world magnificently. One, two, three, four. Oh, hell.
That's enough of that.
I think I don't... Oh. Cricket. Can't say that on the air.
Oh, you are in trouble.
I've got to go.
Yes, I would imagine you would have to.
But you must admit that fresh air is lovely, isn't it?
Fantastic. And now, were they scripted or were they just off the top of your head? How did they happen, the Sammy Sparrows?
Off the top of my head, actually.
Really?
Yeah, that's why one day could be better than the other. You know, depended where you were the night before.
Yeah, and the intro. Let's have a listen to the intro, because it used to begin with a very distinctive intro that we'd all listen and go, oh, Sammy's on. Here it is.
Sammy Sparrow.
That's his chopper.
Yeah.
Come in on the chopper.
Nice touchdown.
Now, you lived at the Opera House, so when did you start running Sammy? Because the Opera House, of course, during the 1960s was being built, so did he move in when it was built?
He was there while it was being built.
Oh, really?
Actually,
okay.
Yes. And, of course, there was much controversy about the Sydney Opera House and how much it was costing and what it was going to look like. So it was a perfect place for Sammy to live, and he was able to give daily reports. And, you know, things like Government House being next door, and he's living in the Opera House, so he was always able to say who'd called in to see the governor the day before.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, I think three governors have actually written letters to Sammy Sparrow over the years. I can always remember we got information that the Queen was coming to Australia, and Sammy said, I don't know what's going on, but somebody very important is coming to Government House, because they're down there getting the dust out from under the beds and so on. Would have taken 45 seconds, and the housekeeper from Government House was on the phone saying, there is no dust under the beds.
How is Sammy these days? You caught up with him last night, you said?
Yes, he's all right.
Is he good?
Yes.
He's in good spirits?
Oh, always in good spirits, yes. Mm. Mostly brandy and, you know.
Yeah. Hey, we've got Lola on the line, and if you want to talk to Gary, he's going to be here till 9 o'clock on air. Hello, Lola.
Hello.
Yes,
how
Lola.
Are you?
Good.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Lola.
I just thought you might have told the boys about diamond traders making the rings for Eleanor and Sammy.
Ah,
I come across
yes.
the clipping the other day.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I know.
Diamond traders did a terrific job too.
And they made rings for when Sammy got married.
Yes, yeah, and there's photos to prove it.
I know,
fantastic.
I've got it in front of me.
See, this became part of Sydney, didn't it? The whole narrative of Sammy Sparrow, the family, the marriage, the helicopter, the opera house, the whole thing.
Yeah, and confusion. It was really based on Dorothy and I and our children, if you'd like to know about the confusion.
Isn't that good? Look, Marty's on the line. Marty, hello.
Morning.
Hello, Marty.
Good morning. My daughter entered the competition when Gary was having the competition to name Sammy's helicopter.
And to name the helicopter?
To name the helicopter. And there were five people chose Opera-copter. And then those names were put in a barrel, I suppose, or a hat to be drawn out. Now, she didn't win it, but she was thrilled to think she was in that final
one of the finalists. One of the finalists. Opera-copter.
One of the finalists. And that was what it was called. Opera-copter.
Opera-copter.
Isn't that fantastic? I'd forgotten that, yeah, but that's right.
That's
yeah.
very good, Marty. Thank you so much for that memory. And Tim's on the line. Hello, Tim.
Oh, good morning. In the early 1970s, Mr. O'Callaghan used to broadcast for the school children travelling on live and lesson tours to the airport at Ansett Airlines, and they all flew down to visit the National Capital and the Parliament House, War Memorial, the Science Museum and all of those things. And Gary used to do a cheerio, or as you call it now, a shout-out, mentioning the name of the school and wishing the children a great day on the Ansett airline. Now, what happened was TAA and Ansett had a dual airline policy, and TAA were always full of government people, but because Ansett had to travel with parallel services, they had empty seats, no government people. So they filled them up with all these thousands of school children, and the way Gary went, welcomed them to the bus, to the airport and all that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd forgotten that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, thank you very much for that, Tim. There's lots of memories coming in. There's one here, this is from Raymond, who remembers your broadcast from atop the Berlin Wall.
Oh, yes.
Where you talked about no lights on the East German side and the bright lights on the West.
That's right,
yeah. It's quite remarkable. And I've got Margaret on the line here. Margaret, hello. What, your daughter was there at that time for that broadcast.